Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Matt Dennison here with you and Lee Kelly with me as always on Thursdays. And Lee Kelly, today we get the opportunity to talk about and break down an IU road victory last night at Minnesota, which has been something that, of course, not common in the Big Ten and really not common with this Indiana team, only their second of the season last night. And I think the craziest thing, I didn't turn it on until maybe a few minutes into the contest. And when I did, I thought this is going to be business as usual, like it has been the last couple games. Indiana was down 8 or 10 points at the time. I thought, gosh, the defense, not very aggressive here. Minnesota doing basically what it wanted at that time early in the game at will. But things really changed in that game. The defense got considerably better. And, of course, the big thing, Indiana got the ball to Trace Jackson Davis, who had just an unbelievable game, a great finish for the Indiana team. And IU, I think if you're looking at things solely from an NCAA tournament perspective, they got a big one for that effort last night. Still a lot of work to go, still nothing a lock, still nothing for sure, but they got a big one on the road last night against a very mediocre Minnesota team.
Yeah, and if we could just figure out where that switch is at that they turn on and off. You mentioned early in the game when they were down 10, played very uninspired basketball, and then all of a sudden something changed. And I'm certainly not knowledgeable enough about basketball to tell you what happened, what changed all of that. But if we knew, when Indiana's playing like they did in the second half, they're pretty competitive with most of the teams probably around the country. But when they play like they did in the first half early on, I don't know if they're competitive with much of anybody.
Yeah, and in addition to the defense really stabilizing in the game and getting much better last night, the rebounding in the second half as well. I know Minnesota missed a lot of shots, which obviously was helpful overall in this cause. But defensive rebounding, and it's interesting because, you know, teams have a bad half or teams have a bad start or a bad finish or players have a bad game, but you normally don't see things improve that much within the game. Normally it's something that builds or happens over time. But last night, Indiana, with some great improvements in the game on the defensive end and the rebounding end to get a win at Minnesota last night. And this is going to make things, I tell you, I sense from a couple people that I rely on for, hey, what's going on with this team, whether there's someone that comes on the show or not. I sense that the feeling from a couple of those folks in the know or that are very astute about things and follow it much closer than even I do, I got the feeling that they were concerned. This team is tanking. This team is not going to make the NCAA tournament, Matt. Yes, it's a great talking point between now and the end of the year, but it's not going to happen. So I expected, this is going to be another road game. Indiana might be competitive in this game. I know Minnesota has had some struggles of its own, but to come out and win, to play well, to really take control of the game in a great part for the most part of the second half, big stuff for this Indiana team. And so, again, we have to remember it's Minnesota who had lost 4 out of their last 5 heading into the IU game last night. But nonetheless, it is a road win, and Indiana just needs a handful more. It's not like they need to win every game the rest of the way to get in or something, some unbelievable challenge. It could be difficult, I think, to get where they need to be. But on the road, Minnesota or not, a big one for Indiana, and I think another step forward for sure for this team. We know toward the NCAA tournament, what will be interesting to see, we say this so much of the stuff I say about this team, I think it's almost like a broken record, but will they take the good from last night and the positive that happens last night and build on it for the next game and continue it? It doesn't have to go perfect. They don't have to have a great dominating stretch in the second half as they had last night. But so often you see this team do some really good things and then it just dissipates or disappears from one game to the next. I guess if you want to look for the most consistent player or piece of this Indiana team, I think you've got to look at Trace Jackson Davis, who, by the way, last night, just unbelievable his performance. I want to talk more about that here in a moment. But going to be interesting to see because Indiana's next one, Penn State at home, and Penn State obviously has been really good and consistent in the conference. However, they slipped up in their last game and have really not been playing well the last couple games. So you never know when a team that's been pretty good consistently is having some issues. You never know if you're going to be the next game where they have more issues or if you're going to be the next game where they get it back in gear and kind of get things turned toward the end of the season and the tournament as well. Because I've said I think this Penn State team, obviously an NCAA tournament team, and maybe even a team that can win a couple games in the tournament. So now not only is it up to IU on their side of things, what do they do? What do they carry forward? How does Trace play? What does Devontae do, hot, cold, whatever it may be? But what Penn State team do we get in Assembly Hall as well? But the win last night, it sure makes things even more interesting and polarizing almost as we head to the final stretch.
It is, and it looks to me like we're beginning to get a narrowing of the number of players that come off the bench for IU. And Race Thompson last night, of course, he's a Minnesota kid, so you figure he would be pumped up for that game at Minnesota. Had a great game, really. I mean, 10 rebounds, I think, is what the young man had, and just did a really nice job. Played very well with Trace Jackson Davis under the basket. So a lot of players that are on that bench. I think Blunk had 8 minutes last night, has not played well the last two or three games, and his minutes going down. Deron Davis came in, spelled Thompson, and played very well. Not a lot of minutes, but played very well when he was in there. So I think we're beginning. It makes me wonder, a player like Demezi Anderson and some of the others, how happy can they be about their minutes, and would they think about possibly moving to another program? I certainly have nothing to base that on, but just thinking, you know, he had a lot of publicity coming out of high school, as did most of the others. Now his minutes are down to a bare minimum, and I don't know. It makes me wonder a little bit if he would think about that, but who knows?
We're in the world where it's nothing. Who knows? I mean, I have no insight at all, but I think it's kind of an obvious point that nowadays when someone isn't playing or isn't meeting expectations that maybe they had coming in, transfers are up. I heard him talking earlier today on Kentucky Roll Call about transfers and some other things that could happen with that could increase transfers even more. But my guessing answer would be I would have to think it's a possibility. Who knows at this point? I'm sure not something that, with all the storylines around this team to focus on right now. But as things shift and you do head for the final stretch, you do look ahead for next year and you do wonder about who's back, who's not back. And then, of course, it opens up a whole nother question. What does Indiana do with even some open scholarships that they will have for next year? Archie Miller has said, you know, we'll add some players maybe through transfers or grad transfers or who knows, junior college players, whatever it may be. But nonetheless, an interesting game, a good game from Indiana last night. And before we get further, top performers last night, Trace Jackson Davis, 11 of 15 from the field, so very efficient. 27 points was a career high for him last night, 16 rebounds in the game as well. Archie Miller made a strong case and some comments about Trace last night, more than I've ever heard. He's always been obviously high on Trace, no reason not to be, but made a case basically that he should be considered or should be the Big Ten Freshman of the Year when this conference season wraps up. And I think that, again, with this effort, you'll see him get Big Ten Freshman of the Week or Co-Freshman of the Week here when that's announced early next week. He's got a number of those awards so far this season, both in-conference season when Indiana maybe hasn't been doing well as a team or hasn't won as a team, but he also had some back in the non-conference portion of the schedule as well. I've got to believe that he is a finalist for Freshman of the Year award, and I think across the Big Ten there are some others maybe that could be in the discussion, but I think maybe he can be Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten Conference. And then, of course, you mentioned Race Thompson. If we're going to talk about top performers last night, Race Thompson, 9 points in the game. He played 21 minutes, and I think the most exciting thing about him now, not one or two games, but three or four games now, in some form or fashion, we've seen him contribute more and more to this Indiana team. And I just wonder, you mentioned Joey Brunk, and he hasn't had great minutes. He hasn't maybe contributed in the way others thought. I wonder now, is there a possibility for some changes in the lineup? You hate to talk about lineup changes after a win, but you do wonder now that Race has come on some, what could his role in the lineup or minutes-wise look like moving forward? So a lot to talk about as of last night's game. Glad to have you with us here. Let's take a look quickly at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. A number of things we're going to cover today are Zaxby's headlines, which we've kind of been rolling through already here in segment one. Later in the program today on this Thursday show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join us for an extended conversation on IU basketball. We'll talk more about last night's game and, of course, the age-old question this time of year: what does Indiana need to do now that they got another win, a win on the road last night over Minnesota, to lock into the NCAA tournament? We'll discuss all of that and more with Alex when he joins us a little bit later in the show. And that's what we'll do today here on this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget, you can visit your local Honey Baked Ham store, receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. They also have buy one, get one free ham bone still as well, all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to get a comment or a question from you. It might get read on the air. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me a question or comment there. Also on Facebook, you can follow the show. We have a page on Facebook. You get updates and podcasts and a lot more, and you can send us some comments there through a messaging feature, and perhaps we'll use your question or comment on the air today. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines quickly before we get to Alex to talk more about last night's game. Obviously, you wonder after the game how it affects Indiana's opportunity for the NCAA tournament. There's a website, I've mentioned it before, barttorvik.com. Computer rankings and other things tied in with statistics of college basketball. And he has a tourneycast on his site feature. Indiana, after the game last night, a 70.7% chance to make the NCAA tournament, according to the Bart Torvik website. So again, what's the exact formula? You can go there and find out. It tells you how it pulls it all together. But Indiana, almost a 71% chance, according to that site, to make the NCAA tournament. Also, with the win last night, Indiana rises four spots. They go to number 59 in the NCAA's somewhat new still net rankings, evaluation tool rankings, after Wednesday's game at Minnesota. I believe this is year number two for the net rankings. Lots of discussion and stories and articles and things out there about the net rankings this time of year, because they're still new and it's pretty much unknown. There's no formula that the NCAA has put out to say, okay, here is how we come up with this evaluation tool for the tournament. So there's a lot of unknown. You see teams up and down. You see other teams you think should be higher based on their record or based on how they're playing, and they're not. But Indiana did rise four spots in those rankings after the win last night. Sagarin ratings, they're up to 34, 40th in KenPom, up to 40 in ESPN's BPI as well. And it's going to come down to a very interesting slate of games ahead for this Indiana team. Sunday, Penn State comes to town for a noon tip-off at Assembly Hall. And then after that, it's February 27th at Purdue, March 1st at Illinois, and then I just have this feeling, Lee, it's going to come down to the two home games to finish up the Big Ten season in that final week of regular season play. March 4th, a game at home against Minnesota. March 7th, a game at home against Wisconsin. Can you imagine what the feeling in Assembly Hall would be like coming down the stretch with Indiana maybe needing one win in that final week at home? And again, very likely I think they could accomplish that, but you want to talk about nerve-wracking home games and probably a really great environment as well. I think you'll find it in those two home games if Indiana, especially if that's needed to get into the tournament.
Place should be rocking. I mean, it's almost, you hope it almost happens that way because the atmosphere inside Assembly Hall would be unbelievable for those games. And so hope it turns out that way. Certainly would be fun.
That's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program's headlines brought to you by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Lots more on last night's game. We'll talk Trace Jackson Davis, Race Thompson, Devontae Green, and more. And after that, we'll look ahead to what's left for this Indiana team, their game at home Sunday against Penn State, and what Alex thinks they've got to do to punch their ticket now at this point for the NCAA tournament. All that coming your way and more on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly with me in studio, and Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us every Thursday as we talk IU basketball and more. And always more fun to talk about the Hoosiers after a good performance and a victory. Of course, Indiana wins last night at Minnesota at the Barn. Alex, I think we got to start with Trace Jackson Davis. He's been really good all season, been very consistent for this Indiana team in good moments and bad moments this season as well. But last night, not only was he a big point scorer and a big rebounder, but he did it against a big-time defender, big-time competition as well. It was a huge, huge factor for Indiana.
Absolutely. It was really a welcome performance after the game he had at Michigan, which may have been his worst of the season. He follows that up with arguably his best game of the season. I think Indiana's now 8-0 when he has a double-double. So can't really say enough about a kid going on the road and getting 27 and 16. That's a good line at any level of basketball. But to do it in one of the tougher road venues in the Big Ten, I know Minnesota's not very good, but they only had three home losses all season coming into last night. One of them was a non-conference with DePaul. And then I know Michigan State and Iowa had beaten them previously in Big Ten play. So, you know, they've been pretty tough at home, and Indiana hasn't really given many signs that they were capable of going on the road and winning a game like that. So credit to Trace Jackson Davis. I thought also Race Thompson was absolutely huge in the game last night. Joey Brunks really been struggling for about the last month. I'd say since the Michigan State game, hasn't really played well at all. And he continues to start, you know, the first half and second half last night, but pulled pretty quickly both times. And Race Thompson, and a homecoming of sorts for him with his dad, who actually played running back, I believe it was, for the University of Minnesota. Getting a chance to see his son play up in Minneapolis and play that well. He just narrowly missed on a double-double, I think 9 points and 10 rebounds. So really good performance, I think, out of both of those guys. And another thing that stood out to me just overall was Indiana's decision-making from the guard position was a lot better. I mean, Devontae Green still had a couple that you'd like to have back, but overall, Indiana didn't beat themselves with silly turnovers and I think one thing that really changed the game, Minnesota had 13 offensive rebounds and no second chance points. Richard Pitino said after the game he'd never seen that happen, and I think I have to agree with him. I can't recall seeing a team get that many offensive rebounds and not scoring once off one of them. That was a huge opportunity miss for the Gophers.
Indiana fans are certainly hoping that last night's win kind of springboards them forward. And at what point in that game did it go from Indiana being a team that was losing by 8-10 points on the road to a team that just looked fabulous? And I think they ended on an 11-2 run, so that final score is a little bit misleading. Mm-hmm. But what transpired, and I watched the game, and I still don't remember, at what point something happened, or was there any one thing that just all of a sudden changed, or the defense changed, or something changed?
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. You know, I tweeted as such. It was basically a no-show performance defensively for about the first 8 to 10 minutes. Minnesota was basically doing whatever it wanted, whether that was, you know, making a couple three-pointers or getting the ball in the paint and scoring at the rim. I know they scored on their first three possessions. And at one point, they were I think, at 1.75 points per possession, which is just unheard of in at this level of college basketball. They were getting what they wanted. And it looked to me like Indiana was just going to kind of roll over and have a similar performance than to what we've seen a lot of times on the road. I mean, they came in averaging – I think an average margin of defeat of over 15 points in Big Ten road games in the six losses prior to last night's game. But I think the big thing was they got a couple stops, and Minnesota lost some confidence, stopped making shots. And once Indiana got some stops, I think it fueled their offense a little bit. And the other thing I will say is they made a concerted effort, as big of an effort as I've seen all season, to get the ball to Trace Jackson Davis. They knew that they weren't going to win this game on the road by making a bunch of three-pointers, so they got the ball inside, got to the line, did a decent job converting. So I would say more or less it was they started playing defense. I mean, quite honestly, they weren't playing defense the first 10 minutes of the game. So once they got some stops, I think it helped give them some confidence on the other end of the floor. And, you know, Minnesota, as I mentioned, a lot of missed opportunities for them. They shot horribly from three-point range. They didn't make free throws, and, you know, they got a ton of offensive rebounds but didn't convert. I mean, that had something to do with it, too. If any of those numbers are different, maybe the game is a little bit different. But Indiana, I think, really it was just a matter of effort and, you know, getting a couple of stops, and that, I think that helped them get some confidence. I don't necessarily know if there was one moment that changed the game. It was more of a, to me, it was, you know, just digging in and saying, you know, we're not going to just let this team do whatever they want on us. And that's really what happened the first 10 minutes. And credit to Indiana, credit to the coaching staff for changing that around in the middle of the game, because that's not easy to do, particularly on the road.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us talking about Indiana's win last night in Minnesota. Joey Brunk, what's going on there? He at times has offered some things to this team. Obviously, he's thought of as a leader, a good communicator, and it has been an interior presence in some moments for this team. But in recent games, he really has seemed to dissipate and not be a factor at all.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if there's one thing I can pinpoint. Sometimes guys get in a rut and they have a series of games where they're struggling to find confidence. And I think the thing with Joey that I noticed at the Michigan game, he had a ton of looks point blank early in the game and just missed them. And that, I think, took a lot of confidence away from him. And last night, I don't necessarily think it was a great matchup for him. You know, Trace Jackson Davis and Oturu battled for most of the night. And then the other big man that Minnesota has is a guy that can stretch the four a little bit, shoot the three on occasion. And that's just not a great matchup for Joey Brunk. So I think they were better off with Race Thompson being able to guard out a little bit better on the perimeter and move his feet a little bit better. But Joey Brunk, his ceiling as a player is pretty limited. He's a good solid contributor, but I don't think he's ever going to be more than a guy who, you know, goes out and gets you 8 or 9 points or 5 or 6 rebounds. And and really lately he hasn't been given much at all. But Indiana's front court has picked up the slack a little bit with Race Thompson being able to step forward, and obviously Deron Davis played really well offensively at Michigan and did some good things last night as well. But you know, I think Indiana's going to have to get Joey back on track in time for postseason play, because as you mentioned, he's a guy with experience. I think, I could be wrong, but I think he's the only guy on this roster that's ever played in the NCAA tournament. So that's some experience that he has that nobody else has on the roster. So they need him to kind of get back into the form that we saw earlier in Big Ten season. And I think he's too hard of a worker to just kind of stay in this funk the rest of the year. I expect that he'll bounce back sooner rather than later.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. You can read his coverage of IU basketball, InsideTheHall.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Inside the Hall as well. We've talked some about last night's game, and I want to ask you the question. I know that it's a very common question that you get posed this time of year, especially with this Indiana program. But after the road win last night, in your opinion, with what you see, with what you read, with what you know, what does Indiana need to accomplish the rest of the way? What do they got to do win-wise to get in the NCAA tournament?
Well, there's a couple things at play here. Even if they win three more games in the regular season, which would get them to, I think, 20 wins, I think they'd be feeling pretty good at that point. But they're really, their ceiling is a seed. I've kind of looked at some of the scenarios in the Big Ten tournament. I think they could get, you know, if things kind of break the way, they could get the 10 seed. They're most likely ticketed for the 11, which is going to be, and this is by virtue of a ton of tiebreakers that are likely to occur. There's going to be just a lot of teams in that 9, 10, 11 win range. They're going to lose a lot of tiebreakers in that range if it does come to that. So they're probably going to end up playing a team like Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament. And that's not really going to move the needle if they win. If they lose, it could hurt them. But I think if they win two more games in the regular season, they're probably going to make it. If they win three, I think they'd feel really good about it. But I would say win three and get a win in Indianapolis, and they'd be safely in as something like a 9 or a 10 seed when it's all said and done.
Alex, how important is the Penn State game this Sunday? A team that's ranked, a team that's had a great season, it's at home. How critical is that game, in your opinion, to making the NCAA tournament?
I mean, I don't think it's a must-win. I don't think, obviously, like I said, I think if they win two more, they're probably going to make it. I just don't see them. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible that they can win at Purdue or Illinois. I just don't see that happening. Their two road wins are the two worst teams that they've played so far on the schedule in Big Ten play, in Minnesota and Nebraska. But yeah, if they can win the Penn State game, take some pressure off. They could go to Purdue and Illinois and just kind of, you know, they can not have that pressure knowing that they're going to have to steal another one on the road. And it's a really good team. It'd be a quad one win. Penn State's obviously in the midst of a fantastic season. I think they're maybe looking in the mirror at themselves a little bit and saying, hey, you know, we just lost at home to Illinois. Can we keep playing like we were before? So they're maybe in a little bit of a tough spot coming off that home loss to Illinois. So I think it's a good opportunity for Indiana. Should have a pretty good crowd behind them. They always do on the weekend home games, especially with a noon tip. I believe it's at noon. And, you know, if they win that game and then, you know, can kind of continue that momentum at home, they're in pretty good shape to get to 19 or 20 wins, which I think would get them in the NCAA tournament.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. I want to talk with you about the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament as a whole here before we let you go. You mentioned if Indiana won three and got a win in Indianapolis, that would for sure lock them in, and they'd feel pretty good about it, basically definitely good about it, I would think, at that point. I tell you, I keep an eye on it. I did not pull it up this morning after the IU win last night, but I sure keep an eye on the Big Ten bracket, where it would be as of today, as of last night's games. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter how that thing adjusts. and moves around and updates over the rest of regular season play. I know you've been to a number of Big Ten tournaments covering Indiana and in the conference. I can't imagine a more wild and competitive tournament. And, of course, it's back in Indianapolis, which is where it should be, Indianapolis or Chicago. Both are fine with me, but it's back there at least for this season. I can't imagine a better year to be a fan and have tickets to multiple sessions of games at the Big Ten tournament. I think it's going to be wild. I think there will be some upsets and just really competitive games based on how this conference season has went.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I mean, I think anyone that's playing on Thursday, unless there's some upsets on Wednesday, you're looking at mostly surefire NCAA tournament teams. They're going to be playing all day from Thursday on, so should be fun. You know, anytime I go to cover the Big Ten tournament, I try to study up on the teams who are playing well, kind of going into the right part of the season. And I think this year the tournament's going to be wide open. Obviously Maryland's playing really well. And a team that I'm really thinking has a chance to make a deep run, not only in the Big Ten tournament, but in the NCAA tournament, is Michigan. They're just playing really well right now. Obviously going to Rutgers last night and getting that win. First team to win on Rutgers home floor all season. So that was huge for them. And Michigan State's another team that I think, when it's all said and done, when you look at which Big Ten teams have the best chance to make the Final Four, they're right up there near the top of the list. Because I don't, you know, there's no coach I trust more in the tournament setting than Tom Izzo. And there's no player in the Big Ten that I trust more in the tournament setting than Cassius Winston. I think you have that combination, that 1-2 punch. You got a chance to do some serious damage. But, yeah, it's going to be, for basketball fans, and I agree with you, Matt, it should be in Indianapolis or Chicago every year, preferably to me, Indianapolis, because nobody hosts a basketball event better than Indianapolis. The fans, it's an easy place to get to for most Big Ten fans. And from an IU perspective, you know, they need to win a game, you know, in this event. They're 0-2 now under Archie Miller in the Big Ten tournament. Lost to Rutgers, I believe it was 2 years ago. Last year they lost to Ohio State in a game that really ended their NCAA tournament hopes. So should be a great, great event. Always is. Looking forward to it. And hopefully Indiana will be around for more than one day in the event, because I'd like to stick around and watch some good hoops for a couple days.
You know, it's been an interesting year in the Big Ten in a number of ways. One of them last night, I flipped over to watch a little bit of the Michigan-Rutgers game you mentioned, and I heard the announcer say that was the 10th sellout for Rutgers, and that's a record, I believe he said, for that team. So, you know, when that team came into the Big Ten basketball-wise, you thought, why in the world are we, you know, the Big Ten interested in bringing in Rutgers? Well, I think we're finding out. Given the Big Ten backing, it seems to have improved their ability to recruit. They're playing very well, and people are supporting them, showing up, filling up that gymnasium. So the Big Ten has added some people, and some other people have improved their game to where the teams you used to be able to put in the win column for an Indiana or a Purdue or whoever, those teams are they've changed things around. Illinois is playing better. Rutgers is playing very well. Obviously, Penn State's had a great year. You just keep going down the line. That's a pretty doggone good conference when you look at it.
Yeah, and then you look at Nebraska, who's been bad this year, but the coaching hire they made with Fred Hoiberg, I think long-term he's going to get the job done there. He's, you know, he was wildly successful at Iowa State. He's just going to have to be given a little time to get his guys in there. But I think that's the scary thing about the Big Ten right now is you look around and there's really no coaches that you say this guy's not capable of, you know, at least getting to the tournament or, you know, getting a win or two when he gets there. There's, you know, Chris Collins has struggled, obviously, the last couple of years at Northwestern, but he took that program to the tournament for the first time ever. I mentioned Hoiberg. Rutgers, you talked about, I mean, they were basically a joke from a basketball perspective when they came into the league, but they made a good hire in getting a guy like Steve Peichel, who, you know, that's more of a destination job for him. He grew up in that part of the country as a coach, was an assistant at UConn, went to Stony Brook, took them to the NCAA tournament. And he's never going to be a guy that's going to bring five-star recruits in, but they're going to get, you know, top 150, top 200 guys, develop them over the course of 3 or 4 years, and they play hard, and that gives them a chance. And they're building a really good home court advantage at the Rack. I think it only seats about 8,000. I've never been there, but it sounds like it's a pretty intimate setting, tough place to play. And that, I mean, that's, I think that's what separates right now the Big Ten from a lot of these other conferences. That, you know, they're, it's been 20 years since they've won a NCAA tournament. But I think when you look around the league, some of the places that you have to go play, it's just difficult night in and night out basis. I mean, the ACC, they have a lot of great teams, a lot of great programs at the top, but there's a lot of games on those schedules, that schedule and the SEC this year, where, you know, you can go on the road and win pretty easily. It's just, there's just not those type of games necessarily on the Big Ten schedule, maybe this year, outside of, you know, Northwestern and Nebraska. Any given team is capable of beating anyone on a given night.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. I was reading a story from John Gassaway on ESPN this morning about the bubble this year, and he opened the story talking about it's one of the wildest years ever for the bubble, and I feel like we feel that way every year at this time as we approach the NCAA tournament, the end of regular season. Maybe it's that we feel that way because we follow Indiana, and the roller coasters have been wild and crazy toward the end of the year. But when you look, and we talk a lot about the Big Ten and how crazy it's been, but when you look across college basketball this year, Alex, as this thing comes to a close, as conference tournaments get here, as Selection Sunday arrives, is this one of the craziest years for bubble teams, which I think right now you've got to classify Indiana definitely as one of those where we sit here in the latter days of February. Is this one of the crazier years for bubble teams?
I don't know if it's craziest. I just think it's unique in that you have so many Big Ten teams that are in consideration. I'd say there's 11 right now. Minnesota's probably kind of moved off the bubble last night with that loss. They have a losing record, and they have good computer numbers, but they're not going to take a team with a losing record, so they're going to have to win a lot of games here to close. I think that the unique thing about it is there's so many Big Ten teams that are in the mix. Some of the power conferences that I mentioned, SEC, ACC, are down, and then there's just not a lot of good mid-major teams from like the secondary leagues, the Mountain West, some of the other conferences that maybe on a given year get two or three. There's just not a lot of strong teams from those secondary conferences. So it's like trying to find teams to put in the tournament. There's going to be a lot of debate on Selection Sunday because there's going to be so many resumes that you look at and say, well, this should keep this team out. Well, wait, we need eight more teams, and then here's the 16 resumes, and you're going to be able to look at those 16 resumes, and you're going to be able to point to two or three things and say that, you know, that's terrible. From an IU perspective, it'll be, hey, you know, they have all these road losses that they weren't competitive in. But then you'll look at other teams from an ACC or an SEC and say, who did they really beat? And so I think that's why it's important for Indiana to get, you know, as close as possible to 500 in the league. You don't want to give the selection committee a reason to keep you out. Right now, the net number for Indiana is not great, but the other computer numbers are pretty good. So just keep winning, and I think everything else will take care of itself. But yeah, it's unique. I don't know if it's crazy, because every year I think we talk about the bubble and there's so many teams that you just look at and say, does this team really deserve to make it? There's a lot of mediocrity kind of after, you know, the first 20 or 25 at-large teams. But it's just unique because the Big Ten is so strong, and you feel like every game means something in this league. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how the brackets shake out this year. I think there's going to be a lot of debate and a lot of argument on those last two or three teams that get in. And there's going to be cases to be made. There's no perfect science. There's no formula. There's no actual cut line that you can look at and say, you know, this team deserves to be in or out. So basically all you can do is win as many games as possible, and then you put it in the hands of the committee. So Indiana, like I said, I think if they win two more regular season games, they're likely in, win three more, and I think they've they're pretty much going to punch a ticket at that point.
Well, if they wanted a perfect system, they would just let the three of us pick those teams and set up the brackets. And, Alex, one final question. We've talked a lot about the teams down at the bottom on the bubble might make it this game. What about, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, who should be the top four seeds going into that tournament right now?
Man, that's tough. I mean, I think San Diego State obviously is deserving without having the rankings right in front of me. I know Kansas is another team that's played pretty well this year. Gonzaga is another one that I feel like is going to be in that mix. Dayton's another team that's had a really good year. So those are, I think, some of the teams that I would definitely have in consideration. But, you know, even those teams, as good of a season as they have, like a team like San Diego State, they're unbeaten right now. But you say, who's challenged them in their conference? I mean, that's the problem when you're comparing resumes, because a team may have, you know, 22, 23, 24 wins, but maybe they're all against, you know, mostly against quad two, quad three, quad four teams. In the Big Ten, every night's a quad one win. So how do you compare those when looking at it? But, you know, those are four teams that kind of stand out. If I was looking at a team that I think has a chance to make a deep run that maybe isn't going to be on that one line, and I'm talking about the Big Ten, I would go back to the following three teams: Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State. I think Ohio State has struggled at times this year, but I think they have a really good coach, and I think they have a chance to make a run. So they're not a team that I would take lightly come tournament time. But it's going to be a wide open tournament. I mean, every year I feel like there's usually two or three teams that you feel good about and say one of these teams is probably going to win it all. This year I think there's, 15 or 20. That, I mean, when the bracket comes out, if you told me I could take two or three teams of the rest of the field, I'd probably take the rest of the field, because there's just so many different teams. I feel like they're going to have a chance to make the Final Four. It could be one of those years where we see an 8, 9, 10 seed make it to Atlanta.
I think Baylor and Kansas play this weekend.
Yeah.
And I think
About Baylor.
Yeah, well, that's going to be an interesting game and how that affects the seeding.
Right, yeah, that'll be a big one, for sure. And then, I mean, it's going to come down to conference tournaments too, because a lot of these teams there's no separation, and you know, one win could come down ultimately to who's the last number one seed as opposed to who's the top number two. But I mean, I think if you're on one of the top two lines, you're not. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to beat a good team anyway, so. It's hard to complain if you're a one or a two. That's the best path. I just think this is going to be a tournament that's ripe with upsets, and there's going to be a lot of chaos, which is how we like it. We like to watch a lot of buzzer beaters. We like to watch upsets. We like to watch some Cinderella teams move on, and that's, I think, exactly what we're going to get again this year.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat on IU and much more in college basketball. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with the final segment, wrap things up here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with you, Lee Kelly, in studio. Final segment as we wrap things up on this Thursday. Lots of talk today about a big win for Indiana last night, and of course, as the week goes on, we'll turn our attention to IU and a big home game on Sunday against Penn State, which, man, if Indiana could somehow find a way to beat Penn State at home on Sunday, what a boon that would be for their NCAA tournament resume. And again, Penn State having some struggles right now, including a loss, so we'll see how things play out. Lee Kelly, speaking of the weekend, you and I will be back on Sunday after the IU game and after the tournament pairings from Indianapolis at about 5 o'clock with our local tournament pairing special that we've done now for a number of years. And I think of all the things that we do, all the special programs and preview shows and interviews with coaches and players that you and I have hooked up with over the years to bring here on the Big X, the pairings special is one of my favorites because we get the coaches, not all of them, but a good number of them, a few of them from each area sectional. We get them right after the pairings have been put out, but yet there's still a week or so to go in the regular season. So it's kind of a great opportunity to catch up not only on their thoughts on the draw and their sectional, but also their team as they head into the final game or so.
Yeah, it's a very special time of the year. From the time I was in high school and they would come over the PA, it was Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock when the pairings began, and they would come over the PA and say, well, we'll be playing so-and-so in the Jeff sectional on Tuesday night or whatever it might be. So special times. We've been talking about the NCAA tournament and how there are a number of teams that could win it. When I look at the high school here in Clark and Floyd County, the high school tournaments, I think it's similar. I think there's a lot of teams in every one of those four classes that could walk away with a sectional crown this season. Just a lot of parity in those programs.
Yeah, no question about it. I think from Seymour all the way down, we have a number of sectionals that very interesting. And I know we got to go here in a second, but did you see yesterday? We talked yesterday. Someone asked me, sent a question: who are your sectional favorites? Who do you pick in some of these sectionals? And I mentioned I thought Providence locally had a really good chance because of how they're playing under Ryan Miller. Did you see the news yesterday? Providence, new sectional playing at Southwestern Hanover. That's been out now for a while. But longtime coach Jerry Baumholt at Southwestern, who beat Providence and on paper would be the favorite in that sectional, resigned immediately in the middle of the season, the school saying that they did not want that or push for that. Just amazing. Kind of a late season storyline that you wonder how that will affect that team and that sectional moving forward.
Been an interesting year is all I can say.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly, thanks for being with me. Sunday, we'll hook back up. We've got the local or the Indianapolis pairings from Indianapolis at 3 o'clock. Lee and I will be on at 5 with our tournament pairing special. That wraps it up for today. Back Friday, Jared Morris, Kyle Neddenrip, and more on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.